tonight. I hope that you've had a good night in the Lord already. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. And we'll probably be here maybe the next couple of Wednesday nights. If I can remember, this is the one I started on Wednesday. And not skip over. Ephesians chapter 2. And this is the thought we're going to talk about is learning to walk in the Lord. Learning to walk in the Lord. Now the church of Ephesus was, for the most part, a very spiritual type church. It's not a book that's filled with many rebukes and instructions on how to get right. Not like 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is the church that, that book is written with a lot of instruction, a lot of rebuke, and a lot of correction in it. But this one is not. The book of Ephesians is not filled that way. So I think it will help us if we glance through it and we glean through it on how to walk in the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, "And ye have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." If you would, hold your place there and just flip back to 1 Corinthians 3, and you'll see the instructions that Paul gives to the church of Corinth in comparison. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says here, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Now, it's one thing for certain in life. If you're going to get from point A to point B, you're going to have to get up and move there. You're going to have to, stand up and walk over from point A to point B, unless you're not physically able to, and then someone else has to help you along the way. And they, like the man that was with palsy, he could not get to the Lord. They brought him to the Lord. But when the Lord got done, he said to him, "Take up your bed and walk." And so we're going to talk about walking. It says here, first thing we got to look at is how we walk in the past, our past walk. And it says there in verse number 2 of Ephesians chapter 2, "Where in time past you walked according to of the course of this world." I'm sure that many of us could stand up this evening and give testimony on the way we walked according in times past. And I'm sure that there's many of us who are not proud or even could give good testimony of the way things happened in our time in the past. Most of that problem was is that we were dead. It says there in verse 1, "And ye have he quickened, who were dead, trespasses and sin." So we were spiritually dead in time past. And so that dictated the way we looked at things and how we acted and the things we walked in. There's three different emphasis on death in the Word of God. There's the spiritual death, which we see here, meaning you're lost without Christ. You're dead and trespass and sin. I mean, you're alive. He was not talking to people that were dead. They were alive, physically speaking, but they were dead. And the second thing the Bible talks about is the physical death, which is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed that the man wants to die. That's the physical death. Every one of us, if the Lord tarries, this body's going to give out. And what happens after that is determined with that spiritual death. And so if you're dead in trespasses and sins when you physically die, then you're going to take part in what's called the second death. You know, in Revelation 21:8, if you would, look over there. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that is talking about eternal separation from God. There will never ever after this be an opportunity. Once you pass out of this life, and you do not know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, to be, you know, the Bible puts it simply like this, to be absent from this body, if you're saved, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And if you're lost without Christ, you're dead, trespasses, sins, you shall take part of that second death, which we read about there in Revelation 21. And so the way we walked in the past, you know, our past walk, you know, it helps us. As we look back and we see the things that, and errors of our way, it should help us, to, you know, the old saying, learn from history so you don't repeat it. But too often we don't do that, do we? We just follow along right in the same way. Well, you know, what happens is when I trust Christ, when it says there in verse 2, it says, and ye have been quickened, you know, that's like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, but all things become pass away, and all things become new. And so there's a newness of walk, and we receive spiritual life, and we're born again, and we begin to walk in a different path. So our past walk, dear friend, is something that we need to look at and remind ourselves often of where we were at, so we do not wind up back there, because, you know, as the sow returns to the mud and the slop, and as the dog to the vomit, if we're not careful, if we walk in the flesh and we walk according to this body and the appetites of the flesh, we end up back where we had walked in time past. And it says there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of air, and the spirit of that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so as we learn to walk, keep a clear conscience of where you were, and know that where you are today, it's not by something that you've done spectacular. It wasn't like you were the MVP of the human race, and God said, hey, come, and I want to make you part of my team. I want to draft you into my team. No, it doesn't draft. You get grafted through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're adopted into the family of God. And so as you're in Christ, all things are passed away, all that old stuff and the things of the old man are passed away, and all things become new, and you begin to walk a little different. And what is one way that we know that should happen is that we should walk in good works. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so we look at our old man and our old walk and the past walk and path that we're taking, and now we kind of parallel that with how are we walking now. You know, salvation is not by good works. We know that because of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is not of good works, but unto good works. So when I walked in time past, and the children of disobedience, and the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, as it said there in verse 2, one, he's quickened me, made me alive, made me part of his family. Now I am working, working unto good works. And of course, our greatest example would be the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And look at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And he was a servant. A servant is one that does his busy about the work, ministering about work. So here's our great example here. There's a poem that was written that says this, Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way. That even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. For others. You know, once you trust Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, that selfishness walk of the selfish walk of past, the desires and appetite of the past should change as we walk according to the Word of God, and we walk according to the examples that were given in Scripture, and we begin to think about others more and more. Why does that take place? Because the Bible teaches us that when we're saved, we take on a divine nature. And that nature of God is that He cares for others. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so His whole concern was others. And we begin to take on that nature. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so you begin to do things for others. You're careful to minister to others, because that's what Jesus came to do. And it was all, the whole purpose of his life was for others. Everything he did was so that you and I could enjoy fellowship with God, our Father in heaven, and enjoy, eternal life with him because of what he did for others, for all men. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. And so we look as we begin this walk and begin this journey, we make sure we're careful about where we walked in the past, because we don't want to end up back there. The worst thing in the world is when somebody's lost in the woods or in the desert or some remote place, is they make a mark somewhere or fix something in their mind, and after 7 hours of walking around, all of a sudden they're right back to where they were. It's very disheartening. The sun's sitting down. The chill of the night is coming on. And it's very difficult to motivate yourself to make another mark and sit another asthma and go another day. Well, that's the same way spiritually, dear friend. The devil would have you, dear friend, wander around like a double-minded man, tossed to and fro, until you end up back to exactly where you were before you got saved, in the same fix that you were in before you trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, so he could tell you, I told you that God doesn't save, because if he did, you wouldn't be right back here. And it's disheartening. So we take good azimuth of where we were and where we're walking. And I'll tell you, dear friend, if your azimuth, the direction you're going, you're pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, and that pressing and that mark is the mark of a minister, mark of a servant. And if you find yourself not wanting to serve others, dear friend, that's a good check. That's like a yield sign, like a caution sign. That's like a speed bump in your spiritual life that says, hey, I'm no longer under good works. Now I'm just working. Now I'm just trying to, it's just to make the quota. It's just to, it's just to fulfill self. And you become selfish again in the way you are. And so as the poem said, as I kneel and pray, may my prayer be more about others. More like Abraham, a friend of God. Can you imagine as he fellowshiped with God that day whenever God came down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And it became about others. I don't know about you, but taking your mind off of just the fellowship, the fact that the Lord is supping with you, and you're concerned about others. I wonder how you're concerned. If you're walking right, you're going to be concerned for others. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. So we think about where we've been. We're walking under good works. And when we do that, we should walk worthy of the vocation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Listen, dear friend. We need to remind ourselves often of John 1:12. We are God's child. We are His child. He gave us power to those that believe. He gave us power to become the sons of God. We need to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. We need to be very careful in our day-to-day activities, in our conversation or our lifestyle, is that we don't become an embarrassment to our Father in heaven. We're a trophy of grace, dear friend. I mean, we've got to be careful. We've got to be mindful. And I believe one of the things, if we're not careful about walking worthy, is that we don't remember where we were at. When Jesus redeemed us out of the block of sin and out of the bondage of sin, He redeemed us, and we don't remember that. I'm not talking about dwelling on it. Dear friend, I'm telling you, when I trusted Christ, my first Lord and Savior, I am accepted in the beloved. I'm not going to grovel for the devil in my past sins. I'm not. I'm not going to play games with him with my past sins. They're under the blood. Amen. My God is faithful and just to forgive all iniquity and all sin. But I am going to keep it in my, in my conscience. I'm going to keep it in my back burner. I'm going to keep it where I can readily remember how it was. Because I'm telling you, my life as the old man had me headed to destruction. Was going to do absolutely nothing for me, eternally speaking. But it's going to land me in a pit of hell, and I would burn and be judged. My sins would be judged because of my own choices, not accepting the judgment of God and the sins that were placed upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I keep them readily available because I want to be very careful that I don't become an embarrassment to my Heavenly Father. That's what it's saying here. That I should walk worthy of the vocation. You understand, dear friend, that we are, according to the Bible, that we are kings and priests. I mean, think about it, dear friend. We're an ambassador for Christ. You know, every time we have a new president, they go through the picking of our ambassadors that represent them on different, different countries and different embassies and different consulates and things of that nature. And they try their best, I would hope they try their best, that with somebody that would not be an embarrassment to our country. Not be an embarrassment to them as a president. I mean, you wouldn't want to pick somebody that was just totally opposite of your viewpoint, your leadership directions, because whenever they meet in those meetings, they're just going to be an embarrassment to you. So we have to remember, dear friend, we are priests and we're kings and we are an ambassadors for Christ. And dear friend, we make intercession on behalf of Christ. When we reach out, listen, when we reach out to somebody with the gospel, we're making intercession on behalf of Christ. Christ is the one that saves, not us. When we reach out to them, we're reaching out on behalf of Christ. We need to be careful that we walk worthy of the vocation. Look in Philippians, if you would, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. If you're walking worthy of the vocation, sometimes you mean you're going to suffer. For this light affliction, anything different that you're going through, it's a light affliction compared to eternity. Anything that's that you know that would cause you difficulty, cause you heartache or pain, dear friend, it's a light affliction. It's only for a moment. I know it's true, and I know it's real, and I know it's hurtful and painful. I'm not trying to downgrade what you're going through. All I'm telling you, dear friend, is don't throw away your worthy walk of the vocation you've been called because of a moment. Don't let, you know, 5 seconds in a red light situation ruin your testimony. Just a light affliction. A disagreement at home with mom, dad, with husband and wife, with brother and sister, with church members. I mean, every one of us know horrible stories about church members that it just, I mean, when it's all said and done, what happened? It's like a molehill became a mountain. You know what happens? We forgot the vocation wherewith we've been called. We have to be like Abraham, where Abraham said, listen, Lot, we're in the land of Gentiles. We shouldn't be arguing and fussing. Our servants shouldn't be striving together. We shouldn't be having these arguments and bickering back and forth. We have to realize that. Got to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. And there's a lot said to there. I mean, I could spend probably a good 30, 40 more minutes just talking about that worthiness. How we, you know, we could harm that walk with God and the testimony that of the name of God. So we have to be careful. So we look at the past. We say, I was there. But now I'm walking here. And my desire is to be more Christ-like. And to be more Christ-like, it means I'm a servant to others. I'm a minister to others. And I'm mindful of who I represent. I'm mindful. With everything we do, we're mindful of who we represent. Next week, we're going to keep on with this thought. I think I'm going to stop there. I know it's a little early, but things tickling down in my throat, and I don't want to keep going and cause harm. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed. We'll have a song of invitation. Maybe tonight, some of you have been contemplating not even walking at all. You've got to have the mindset that I've finished my course. He's the author and finisher of my faith. What page?
81
church.
Come to
Could we prepare for the services coming up on Sunday? Remember the time change Saturday night? Continue to pray for one another, pray for Pastor as he's not feeling well, and pray he'll be back 100% on Sunday morning. Let's see, Brother Gerald Stacy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Our dear and gracious